This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. How can we bless our New Year celebrations during Nowruz? Is it possible through eating sweets, visiting their relatives, or wearing new clothes? What are the best criteria for blessing our lives? One of the good ways to bless our lives is to help the needy among our friends and relatives. One another good way is to start a new year by helping our brothers and sisters in faith. This is one way to bless our lives.
بیایم جهازی دختر فلانی رو حلش کنیم. فلانی سه تا پسر داره نمیتونه اینا رو دماغ کنه.
One another way to bless our lives at the beginning of the new year during springtime is to buy dowries for the newlywed girls. Another way is to give money to the young boys to help them financially who want to get married. In this way, we can make our new year Mubarak or blessed. Making a heart happy is one of the best ways to bless our life with blessings of Allah. It's not necessarily being happy, but sharing happiness with others. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qarati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Thirty ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, Salam everyone, welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama, Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. The theme of the 16th episode of the Ramadan special series is bravery, focusing on the ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha of the Noble Quran. Stay with us, please. We often get angry when we see injustice towards others. We want to shout or do something, but we may not be that brave to do it. So, we keep silent and shut our eyes not to see anything. A servant of God fears only God and relies on Him, especially when he wants to defend truth or speak truth. The Noble Quran has several times spoken of the accounts of prophets and their confrontation with arrogant and oppressive people or rulers. Prophet Ibrahim, for instance, was a prophet who designs a plan to struggle the false ideas of disbelievers and bravely put them into action in due time without an iota of fear or shakiness. He breaks down all idols except the big one. According to the Quran, he leaves the big idol intact so that it may cause the people to come to their senses and realize that inanimated objects who fail to defend themselves do not deserve to be worshipped. Prophet Moses, too, was very brave. Almighty God gave him the mission to invite Pharaoh to the truth. Since his brother Aaron was more eloquent than him, Moses asked God to let Aaron to accompany him to act as he wanted to speak to Pharaoh and his courtiers. Thus, these two apparently ordinary persons went to confront Pharaoh, who was very powerful politically and economically, and had a broad influence among people. Ayahs 43 to 47 of Surah Taha relate Allah's command to these prophets. Go to Pharaoh. Indeed, he has rebelled. Speak to him in a soft manner. Maybe he will take admonition or fear. The two of them said, Our Lord, we are indeed afraid that he will forestall us or will overstep the bounds. In the next ayah, Allah answers them, Do not be afraid, for I am with you too, hearing and seeing whatever happens. Being heedful of Allah's presence makes man brave. If man considers himself linked with Allah, he will gain courage so that he will not be afraid of any power. Prophet Moses, perceiving nearness with Allah, stood in front of Pharaoh and his courtiers strongly and overcame them. When Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, migrated from Mecca to Medina, Imam Ali, peace upon him, laid in his bed, knowing that polytheists would pour into the house with the aim of killing the Prophet. They were pioneered by Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid rushed towards the bed with a sword in his hand, but Imam Ali quickly jumped up and bravely took his hand and squeezed it so that Khalid cried out in pain. Imam Ali, peace upon him, took Khalid's sword and turned towards the assailants like a lion. So they escaped like foxes and asked Imam Ali, peace upon him, while shivering, We have nothing to do with you. Where is your friend Muhammad? The commander of the faithful answered, Have you given him to me that you are looking for him here? Thus the polytheist left in despair. Allah describes in Ayah 54 of Surah Ma'idah his servants who struggle in his way. Allah will soon bring a people whom he loves and who love him. They are humble towards the faithful, stern towards the faithless, waging jihad in the way of Allah, while they do not fear the blame of any blamer. According to this ayah, those who are loved by God do not fear anyone. One of the most important aspects of fear is the fear of losing one's face. We know many persons who have waged jihad in the way of Allah, ready to lose their life, but when their reputation and faith was at risk, they were afraid and relinquished to support Allah's religion. This ayah clearly says that those whom Allah loves and who love Allah do not fear the blame of anyone. An important way applied by oppressors and arrogant people to dominate and rule over masses is to belittle and weaken them to turn them into cowards. This will make them capitulate to the commands of rulers. Pharaoh applied the same method, as it is said in the Quran that he belittled his people so they obeyed him. Another example was the reign of Mansur Dawaniqi, the Abbasid ruthless caliph, who wrote to his son, "I have subdued people in three ways. Now they are three groups. One group are the poor and the destitute who always extend their hands towards you. The second group are the fugitives who migrate and always fear for their life. And the third group are those who are in prisons and wish their freedom only through your pardon. When you come to power, do not provide much welfare and comfort for people." Bravery has a lot of manifestations, though bravery in the battlefield is an outstanding manifestation of it. Other manifestations of bravery are bravery in politics, bravery in judgments, bravery in expression of scientific issues, bravery in bidding what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and bravery in clarification of truth. Yet, the most important kind and manifestation of bravery is the bravery in struggling against desires. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "The bravest person is he who overcomes his desire." In the modern age, Imam Khomeini was a unique personality in all human merits, but his bravery was very conspicuous as he spent his life in striving in the way of Allah and struggling oppressors and the global arrogance symbolized by the U.S. His valor was prominent among ulema, politicians, and leaders of countries. In 1963, when he was arrested in his home at midnight by the agents of the Shah, he had not lost his moral at all. As he narrates the event, "When they were transferring me to Tehran by car, the car deviated for a moment from the road and went towards the Salt Lake. I thought that they intended to kill me. At that moment, I referred to myself to see if I was scared. I found that I was not scared." Ayatollah Khamenei describes Imam Khomeini with the words, "He broke idols and erased polytheistic beliefs and made nations understand that it is possible to become powerful, to break up the chain of enthrallment and grappling with domineers."
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. A beautiful persona indeed, a very magnificent and magnanimous persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, especially when you come to the Shia madhab, the Shia school of thought. Even though when it comes to the brothers and sisters of the Ahl al-Sunnah, especially the Shafi'i madhab and many of the Sufi schools of thought and sects of Islam, we find that they have an incredible love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and for Imam Ali alayhis salam as well. But that purity and that depth and that comprehensiveness that is found in the Shia 12-er imami madhab and school of thought is a depth that is not found in any of the other Islamic schools of thought. This universal persona, again, very profound in its depth indeed. You know, one of the things that we see in Imam Ali alayhi salam, and of course we see in all of the divinely appointed imams, is this idea of basira. And so basira is like commonly translated as, you know, insight or acumen, or vision, or foresight even, if you will. So this kind of basira, this insight or foresight, or this kind of, you know, penetrative intuition, it's, interestingly, it's a difficult thing to translate if you haven't realized already. But this basira is very important, and Imam Ali alayhi salam and all of the imams had that. This basira, this insight, for example, is this ability to be able to go past and cut through the various different veils of darkness and to be able to reach a ultimate truth, if you will. It is a very profound concept, and you need a lot of time to talk about it. We'll kind of have to leave it at this point due to brevity of time. Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, he talks about how this basira, this insight, is something that is so important that losing your insight is much worse than even losing your eyesight. A very profound statement in itself. And, you know, in another place, he talks about how eyesight is useless if this basira or this insight goes blind. So we kind of see this importance of insight and foresight and basira when it comes to the statements and the personas of Imam Ali alayhi salam and all of the divinely appointed imams. But then you kind of wonder, you know, what is the most insightful person? The person that has the most basira is what person? And this is where we're going to end the program, inshallah, and a good place to end in this holy month of Ramadan. This is something that we should be very, very aware of and conscious of. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam, talking about the most insightful person, says that the most insightful person is the one who sees their own flaws. And after realizing and understanding and accepting their own flaws, they refrain from sins in order to refrain from those flaws. This is what Imam Ali, and who Imam Ali says is the most insightful person. Very beautiful statement indeed. You know, we end up turning towards others when in reality we should first turn towards ourselves, see what flaws we have, and refrain from committing sins that make those flaws worse. This is the most insightful person, a very important thing that we can do in this holy month of Ramadan, a profound lesson indeed, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
And now we invite you to listen to Fayyaz Ja'far.
And when we go towards seeing the instruction of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam toward Malik al-Ashtar, amongst the main themes and advices that he gives them in terms of being a leader is telling him, O Malik, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging you by the way that you rule over your subjects, and that your subjects are being judged by their relationship with you. What's that supposed to mean? In Risalat al-Huquq of the Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, he says something really similar. He states that it is the right of the leader to know that when he or she takes a position of leadership, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging the leader by the way and by his dealings with the subjects. Every conversation that we have, every communication, every dealing in any circumstance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being vigilant over that relationship. But in the same way, if someone is acting unjustly, if someone in a position of leadership is not fulfilling their responsibilities toward their community, toward their society, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing the subjects to see what sort of changes are they going to make. What sort of amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar are they going to perform? So Malik al-Ashtar is being advised by the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, again, just to be really vigilant of every single one of his dealings. And when we go towards seeing the instruction of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam toward Malik al-Ashtar, amongst the main themes and advices that he gives them in terms of being a leader, is telling him, O Malik, man malaka istaghfara. He states that when people take positions of leadership, oftentimes they just want to take more. Famous saying is what? That the road to paradise was built on good intentions. When people take a position of leadership, they might have all of the most sincere intentions. They might have absolute ikhlas in all of their dealings. But when they see the opportunity to have more power, to have more wealth, to have more position, oftentimes it can lead toward an uncontrollable fallout that we just need to be careful of. And so Malik al-Ashtar is told by Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam, O Malik, be careful that your relationship vertically with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strong, so that your relationship in our English language, horizontally with the people, is going to work out perfectly. Which is why in Dua Qumar, what do we recite? Amongst the most important lines in Dua Qumar, we say, Sayyidi wa Mawlai wa Rabbi, inni dhalamtu nafsi. Oh Allah, I have oppressed my own self. What does it mean to oppress oneself? To not cultivate your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the proper dimensions as prescribed within the Quran and within the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, is to oppress in reality your own self. And someone who's a sinner, someone who's so bogged down by vice and so far away from God, more self-centric than God-centric, they can never ever take a position of leadership and make a change within community and society.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 151st sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, where he is preparing the community for an impending confusing state of fitna and a tribulation and a test and an examination that the community would face, giving us an insight on how a leader and a manager needs to be able to foresee certain events and prepare the community for and prepare the people to be able to face the challenges and the fitna that is coming. This is very important, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says in this particular statement and in this sermon. He says, وَتَثَبَّتُوا فِي قَتَامِ الْعِشْوَى, that be careful and be firm when the path is filled with dust and fog and you cannot see carefully. At that time, be careful and be firm on the path by sticking to those principles that are clear and firm. And we discussed about this at length and gave some examples. And you can find examples in your own day-to-day lives to confirm this issue.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, in today's world also, sometimes such confusions come in people's lives. One of these confusions is, for example, when ISIS started to do a lot of activities and they came in the name of Islam and holding the Quran, okay, and saying that they want to uphold the Islamic government and things like that, right? This is also a type of fitna. This is a confusion. The Muslim people need to ask themselves a few questions. That yes, the original idea of having an Islamic government an Islamic system of ruling is a good idea, because Islam is the most perfect religion with all the right teachings. But the point that we need to ask ourselves is that there are certain issues that are very clear in Islam. Islam does not allow ruthlessly killing people and terrorizing them in such a manner. This is not permissible in Islam. This is a very clear statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran clearly mentions one who kills one person has killed all of humanity. Especially, he says, one qatala nafsan bighayri nafs aw fasadin fil ardh. One who kills a person without that person having killed another person, or without that person having committed a big crime like corruption in the lands, an innocent life, without a reason, without a purpose, that person has, as if he has killed all of humanity. Now, this is a clear principle. While we saw that these individuals would kill innocent people who had no crime at all, not only innocent, their own Muslim brothers, they would take the Quran and they would say that we are killing in the name of God in a ruthless way. These are clear indications that these guys were wrong. You see, this confusion that people got, oh, this is what Islam says. No, Islam doesn't say that. If you refer to the major principles of Islam, Islam is against these. And to give you an example, you can look at the Islamic Republic of Iran and how the non-Muslims are living in safety and protection inside the country. You can see that. That is a very clear indication to show you that Islam is a good religion based on scholarship, based on strong erudition and understanding of religion.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, we can give you various examples of fitnas and confusions that have been caused. And this is very important for us to refer back and look at these examples one by one to see how we can find those very basic and firm principles to stick to when we are in states of confusion, right? So one of the examples was this fitna that came about with the name of ISIS, where many Muslims got confused. Non-Muslims also got confused. In fact, they felt, if this is Islam, we do not want it. But that wasn't Islam. In fact, later on, it was proven that the very Western hegemonic powers were the ones that financed ISIS. They are the ones who financed Al-Qaeda. They are the ones who financed all of these terrorist organizations that we have. You realize then, if they are the financiers of this, then who is the real culprit and where do these people stand? These are real clear principles that we need to refer to in states of confusion. Another confusion that people faced was when suddenly a certain Western country comes up and says that we want to fight for freedom. We want to fight for example, saving humanity. Again, you need to fall back on your basic principles and see that which countries deserve to fight for freedom and justice and humanity. Just look at that. Just this statement, if you contemplate on it, you'll realize. Does a country that break laws around the world, that kills people, that finances terrorism, that does all of these crimes, do they deserve to spread justice in the world and to fight for other people's freedoms? or the countries that themselves have upheld the law within their own countries, they deserve to do that. If you ask yourself these questions, you'll realize and you'll fall back on those general principles that are firm and clear, and these fitnas will become easy to handle. Inshallah, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us to be firm in the path when these confusions arrive. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the 8th day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. As we had promised you, today we will go to Shiraz to make you familiar with the customs of Nowruz of the people in this beautiful and globally famous city. Stay with us, please. Shiraz is one of the most beautiful cities in Iran. This city is the destination of trip for many travelers in Nowruz, as the weather is good and everywhere one can feel the arrival of a spring. Shiraz is home to a variety of ethnicities, mainly Fars, Azari, Lor, and Arab. Each of these ethnicities have certain customs and culture contributing to prosperity of the culture of Shiraz as a whole. Natives of Shiraz speak Farsi with the Shirazi dialect. Most of the people in the city are Shia Muslims, while small minorities of Jews and Christians have also lived there since old times. Shiraz is renowned all over the world as the land of poem, culture, garden, flower, and nightingale. Sa'di and Hafez are the two poets of Shiraz who have gained international fame for decades. They are the honor of Shiraz and Iran, and their poems have been translated to scores of languages. Traveling to Shiraz in spring is accompanied with the fragrance of bitter orange, that is citrus orontium blossoms. The people of Fars province, especially the provincial capital of Shiraz, welcome the arrival of spring a few weeks before. They clean their houses, buy new clothes or fabric to sew new clothes. People of Shiraz usually pay a visit to the shrine of Shah Chiragh, a descendant of the Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him. They have other customs like preparing ash, a special kind of broth, and Fale Hafez, which means fortune-telling with the Divan of Hafez. In other words, they open a page of Hafez's book of poetry randomly and read the poem. They believe that the implication of that poem will be the fate of the person in the coming year. Going to fish pond is another custom which used to be held in three cities of Shiraz, Fasa, and Zargan, but as the pond in Fasa has dried up, there are only two ponds for the custom. 10 meters below the tomb of Sa'di, there is a qanat with compounds of phosphorus and quicksilver. Qanat or qanat is an underground aqueduct which transfers water to the surface. It flows into a pond called Hose Mahi, fish pond, underground. The pond is on the left of the tomb. The interior is octagonal and reaches the yard of the tomb with 28 steps. Before the time of Sa'di and even in ancient Iran, there was water here and the water was sanctified. According to the 14th century Muslim traveler Ibn Battuta, the pond was constructed by Sa'di. Today, people of Shiraz go to the pond, which is full of red fish, and cast coins in it with the hope of achieving their aspirations. But the people of Zargan gather around the pond and put a big pot on fire to make ash. People of Shiraz start exchanging of visits from the morning of the first day of spring. They are no exception to other ethnicities in going to visit the elderly first. Some elderlies give the young ones a plate containing roasted wheat, sesame, roasted chickpeas and raisin. Another plate is also given with a sweet bread and painted egg. In the past, singers used to go from door to door in the morning of Nowruz to visit the needy and congratulate them. They would tell them sweet stories to make them happy, and both would pray for each other. Another custom among the people of Shiraz is the symbolic wedding of bitter orange. Bitter orange is one of the most beautiful trees in Iran. It is found everywhere in Shiraz. The sweet fragrance of the blossoms of this tree remain indelibly in the minds of every visitor and tourist as a memory of Shiraz. Any house with a bitter orange tree holds a wedding ceremony for the tree, no matter if the tree yields fruit or not. The wedding of bitter orange tree stems from the story of a woman who wanted to cut down the tree as it was not fruitful in a certain year. In this custom, neighborly women are invited and the landlady takes a saw to cut a twig of the tree that has become unkind. One of the women plays the role of a go-between to prevent her. Then they spread a thin lace over the tree, sprinkle special sweets over the tree while singing and enjoying themselves. Thus the tree is made bright and they believe that it will yield fruit next spring.
Thank you.
In the final part of this episode, we are going to name some of the foods common in Shiraz during Nowruz. Some of the foods of Shiraz in Nowruz are shekarpolo, sweet rice, ash sabzi, vegetables broth, tarhalva, a kind of halva, and ash karde. These foods are palatable for visitors and tourists. Other traditional foods of Shiraz during Nowruz include ash anar, pomegranate broth, qorme beh, a kind of a stew with chopped quince, dopiaze, made with onion, potato, and curry, yakhni nokhod, a kind of delicious broth, yakhni adaskalam, broth with lentil and cabbage, kufte holu, made with meat, onion, saffron, sugar, plum, walnut, etc. The naming of this food is because of resemblance of the balls after preparation. The Shirazi cuisine includes other foods too, but what is famous not just in Iran but in most countries is Salad Shirazi. Its primary ingredients are cucumber, tomato, and onion. Then it is served with lime juice, olive oil, spices, and so on, based on the taste of individuals. It is somewhat similar to pico del gallo and Mediterranean salad. The last but not least, mention should be made of falude shirazi, which is very tasty and enlivening. It is made with starch, half-frozen syrup of lime, sugar, and rose water. Then it is usually served with black cherry juice. It creates an unforgettable memory for every tourist and traveler.
Sheikh Baghir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia fiqh